Good morning, everyone. Let's do a little bit of linguistic deconstruction of the notion of an Obama stimulus package. You may recall when the economic crisis began in full force, Barack Obama was talking about a plan that would save 2 to 2.5 million jobs. Well, listen to what he's saying now.
Our plan will likely save or create 3 to 4 million jobs. These made in America jobs, building solar panels and wind turbines, developing fuel-efficient cars and new energy technologies pay well, and they can't be outsourced.
That's the president-elect speaking yesterday on ABC's This Week program. Now, notice in there the create or save 3 to 4 million jobs. Of course, the idea that they're going to be in green industries, that's not new, and that infrastructure is going to be a big part of the stimulus package, that's not new. But what does this create or save and 3 to 4 million jobs mean, and is it even practical? To talk about the various sort of economic approaches of a stimulus package, we've got with us Diana Furchgott-Roth, who's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and a former chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor. Diana, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. And James Galbraith is here, a professor and economist at the University of Texas, Austin. He's the author of The Predator State, How Conservatives Abandoned the Free Market and Why Liberals Should Too. James, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
First of all, let me just get you on the record, both of you. Are you pro-stimulus package, at least as Washington is talking about it these days? Diana?
I'm pro-stimulus, but not as Washington is talking about it. I'm pro-stimulus in terms of a tax cut for all Americans.
So would you say exclusively tax cuts and forget about all the other programs?
I would say if Americans have the money in their pockets, they can spend it faster than Uncle Sam. They can spend it right away. They can make better use of it.
But what if they don't? What if, as with the stimulus checks that we saw earlier this year, they either save them or they use them to pay bills and not spend?
Well, paying bills is actually a good use of the money because it means other people have that money, businesses have that money, and they can go out and spend and invest. But what is needed is a permanent tax cut, not a temporary tax cut, not just a few, you know, $500 checks mailed out to families. But the president-elect should say that the Bush tax cuts are going to remain permanent. In addition, he should have a 5 percentage point drop in taxes for the next 5 years.
Well,
that
the president
would encourage people to spend and make them feel better off.
Well, certainly it looks as though the Bush tax cuts aren't going to be touched in the early going, and there is talk of a continuing middle-class tax cut. James Galbraith, what's your view of a stimulus, and how does the Obama administration either meet your expectations or fail to meet them?
Well, the Obama concept is sound. We do need the infrastructure. We do need the jobs. I think the scale at this point is too small, and I think that the range is probably too limited, that we ought to be putting more money into preserving state and local public services. We ought, I think, to be supporting and expanding Social Security to replace some of the enormous wealth and income losses of the elderly population as a whole. I think we ought to be moving very aggressively to stabilize housing and keep people in their homes and to stop foreclosures. And these all ought to be part of the initial package because the economy is in an unprecedented crisis. And if you do more than is necessary, then, you know, you can back off and not implement everything if the response is very strong.
Well, easy for you to say. I mean, they were talking over the weekend that the money in terms of like $300 billion, maybe as high as $1.3 trillion, has been spent or committed with almost no oversight. I mean, it's fine to do something big and bold, but if there's no oversight, the taxpayer has real problems.
Well, there certainly has to be more oversight than there was over the Bush efforts in the last 3 months. There's no question about that. But if you move on a number of broad fronts, including, for example, revenue sharing and the infrastructure programs, I think that you can do an adequate job of protecting the public interest and at the same time move at a scale which is adequate to support the economy.
So let's talk, Diana, for a moment about the idea of setting some national priorities for infrastructure, maybe upgrading the rail system in the United States, upgrading light rail in urban centers. You know, these are important ideas that probably should be.
I would actually totally disagree about rail. A lot of money spent on it. Very few people use it, especially outside of the dense urban areas.
Is it possible?
There's almost no rail system that covers its costs.
Right,
it's all subsidized.
But
we want to do anything with infrastructure, we need to expand private busways. fix the deteriorating bridges and roads that we have and put in place systems of congestion pricing, road pricing that encourages the private sector to build roads and not the public sector. But all these things take a while to start. James is right. We are in a real crisis now. We need to be getting money, stimulus money, out right now. The best way to do that is get it to American citizens who can spend it. Americans don't have a lot of trust in government to spend money. Look at what we've just done with the $350 billion. They can use that $350 billion a lot better than Uncle Sam.
All right, but let's take rail out of the equation, although some do say that the reason there are few riders or users is because it is funded so poorly. Let's take buses and bridges.
Everyone likes rail, but for everybody else to ride. They don't want to ride it themselves, but they like the idea of having it there. That's why it doesn't pay.
All right, fine. So short-term tax cuts are already in the Obama stimulus package. Let's do the long-term infrastructure. I mean, if you say fix bridges and roads, why not do that?
Fixing bridges and roads is a very worthwhile thing to do. But if we're talking about needing stimulus now, it's difficult to get to those projects right away. And
so I
Americans
guess what John's question, though,
need help right now.
But Diane, I think John's question is, then why don't we do these things simultaneously? The Bush tax cuts still exist. There are more tax cuts in the proposed Obama stimulus package. Why not maintain those two simultaneously as we begin to invest in our infrastructure? I mean, we don't need more bridges collapsing like we saw in Minnesota, and we don't need more steam pipes exploding like we saw in New York City.
That's right. If we do have to spend on infrastructure, maintenance is the right way to go. But the tax cuts Obama has proposed are, again, temporary tax cuts, and they're very small. We need much deeper tax cuts. And President-elect Obama has not said that the Bush tax cuts are permanent. He says he's giving tax cuts to 95% of the population, but he also says that the top two tax brackets are going to rise. That means the top rate's going to rise from 35 to 39.6 for small businesses in 2011.
Right.
That's not the kind of thing that makes people go out and start small businesses or small businesses expand if they know their rate's going to rise by almost 5 percentage points.
Well, we've had people on this program already talking about how the stimulus package seems to go over the heads or under the feet of small businesses. I guess what I'm hearing from both of you, and James, I'd love a response here, is that both of you, from very different perspectives, feel that the scale is way too small. Either the tax cuts are too small or the infrastructure is too small. Is that a fair characterization, James?
I think that indeed we could do more to protect particularly state and local public services very, very quickly. I'm not opposed to tax relief for working families. I think something that worked to relieve the payroll tax, the burden of the payroll tax, would be very useful. You know, the fact that the top 5% of taxpayers are going to get left out this time after having been favored by tax cuts in the past administration to an extraordinary degree with no very great effect doesn't trouble me very much. If we get decent tax relief to working families, that will certainly also help stabilize their financial position. That's a good thing. The important thing here, though, is that we do have it's a major crisis, and it's important to act across a broad spectrum of policy fronts, because these things are interdependent. If state and local governments' budgets collapse, they lay off a lot of staff, those people are going to have a hard time paying their mortgages. That's going to deepen the housing crisis. So one can go from one thing to the next.
All right,
you have to act on everything.
To both of you, the financial bailout ran into difficulty because even though the idea was to get the banks to lend, they didn't lend because they were too desperate and they stockpiled the money and just sort of sat on their hands. What's to say that this tax cut plus stimulus package won't have the same effect? A lot of money will be going to a lot of businesses who are scared, a lot of consumers who are scared. They're going to sit on the money, and nothing's going to get done. Diana, you first, and then James.
We need to fix the fundamental financial conditions of the of the economic crisis, and that means fixing the housing market. We need to think of some way to stop the defaults, stop the foreclosures. Once the housing market stabilizes, then there won't be further losses from mortgage-backed securities. And if the bad loans are taken off the table, then businesses will feel more free to invest.
Okay, James, you have the last word. Diane, I'm going to give James the last word.
There is going to have to be a fundamental reconstruction of the financial system, of the regulatory process. The entire disaster that brought this on was a failure of the state, a failure to take care that abusive mortgages would not come to dominate the financial system.
All right. Well,
that's going to have to be dealt with.
From both of you, some consensus. We have to fix the financial system, but I thought we were working on that. But Diana Furchgott-Roth, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, thanks for joining us. Also, James Galbraith, professor and economist at the University of Texas, Austin. Thanks, James and Diana.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. Bye.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.